Okay, name and title right on the tape.
Bill Hametsi, Director of Strategic Initiatives, Standards, and Practices for Pastoral Mental Health.
Okay, pronounce that last name again.
Hametsi.
Czech, Slovak, something like that?
Hungarian.
Hungarian, okay. Polish names I can handle. I work in Buffalo.
Right.
Magyar names, not so good. Okay.
My wife's Polish.
Oh, okay, so you know. Anyway, how many kids are in your catchment area?
Under 18 years of age, about 90,000.
That's a pretty good study pool, I would think, in terms of the kind of work you do. You aren't dealing with a little group somewhere. 90,000 kids can give you a pretty good picture of what's going on.
Yeah, it can, definitely.
Okay, what's going on?
If the data suggests, most research suggests that 1 in 5 children have a mental health disorder. So for Niagara, then that would be somewhere around 18,000. And last year, we supported through early identification, prevention programs, and more intensive support, more intensive treatment, about 9,000, a little over 5,000 of those were unique clients, so first-time clients.
So you're kind of arguing the other 4,000 are kids you've seen at some point.
At some point, that's right.
What's different about the 5,000, young, old? They're in the middle of St. Catharines, or they're in the middle of Welland, or they're somewhere out in Fort Erie somewhere, or is it across the board?
It's across the board, and there's a lot of interesting areas to focus on in the data. The three that I think we've pulled out here is that's an increase for us of about 30% over last year. And our year, so the Ontario government, we report from April 1st to March 31st. So the first month that we would report would have been April 2020, you know, right after the lockdowns occurred. And our numbers, our referrals were almost none. Most of our work was on supporting clients, families that were already in service. And we didn't start to pick up and get referrals till maybe middle of May. So almost 2 months of that year saw no activity. So that's a 30% increase. And we, you know, basically over 10 months. And then we also found that our largest group of individuals, when we go by age, would have been the 6 to 10-year-olds, that it almost doubled in terms of the number of 6 to 10-year-olds we were serving. And we speculate that's because they were greatly disadvantaged by the lockdown compared to some of the older age groups. And the reason for that is they don't have access to social media like teenagers do. They require more supports from parents or teachers or guardians. They would struggle trying to understand what all of this means. They would struggle with their parents' reactions to, you know, the difference to the pandemic, but then by extension, the differing health interventions and health practices and the public health procedures. So they would struggle with, you know, parents being confused, parents being upset, parents having to go to work and balance their children's schoolwork at the same time, and, you know, struggling between supporting different kids, you know, 2 or 3 children that are going to school that are studying different things. And so that really popped up, that age group grew so much in that time period. And then, of course, we saw the younger kids grow, the under sixes. And that would, you know, largely be attributed to the fact that they really need intensive support, guidance from their parents. Usually the 14 to 18-year-olds are our largest group or our second largest group, and they were much smaller than in the past. And that's probably because they were being able to be connected socially and emotionally with peers through social media. You know, they didn't need the support to the same extent that, you know, 6 to 10-year-olds would. So that really stood out. And then the third piece that really stood out for us was the increase in kids being referred with eating disorders. It was exponentially increased over past years. It required us to pivot quickly to get training for staff so that we could manage that influx. We think that's largely due to a lot of the initial indicators being lost in a pandemic. So kids weren't being seen in schools. Kids weren't having different eyes on them. Lots of studies and even our own reports from our kids is they felt hopeless, they felt alone, or they feel hopeless, feel alone, feel that they don't have anyone to talk to. So especially during lockdowns, that would have been amplified, and we were getting the referrals when kids were later in the onset of the eating disorder.
Obviously, the refrigerator is 8 feet away, which probably has something to do with this. Out of curiosity, are you getting more parents coming in saying, I can't stand it?
Yeah, for us, the parents are the primary referral source. They're coming in. We've held, talks to parents about dealing with anxiety during COVID, how to help support kids. And in Niagara, I think we've had more lockdowns, or in Ontario, we've had more lockdowns than in the U.S. or in Western New York. And so it's challenging. And I know you've had them in New York as well. But it's you get out of one, and then you're shortly told, a few weeks later, there's probably going to be another one coming. And so that's, it really creates that sense of hopelessness, even in the parents. We've had parents comment to us that, what can we do? We've walked every trail. We walked every path. It's becoming a struggle.
I would suspect that it's more boys than girls. I'm guessing, but I think it'd be more boys than girls.
Yeah, so typically it is about 3-1, male to female. The females catch up around age 13 or 14, and then it becomes about 51% males, 49% females. But in that 6-10-year-old group, it was more 2-1 males to females.
My niece is getting crazed with this because her almost 4-year-old would have been in pre-K this year, but no, not this year. Are you getting suicide ideation, or aren't you getting quite to that?
We are, yeah. Large numbers of suicide ideation, kids self-harming.
Niagara region is not exactly a hotbed of minority families and so forth, but any difference between white families and what minority families there are?
None that are reaching out to us. Well, you're right, it's a small number, but when we do see minority families, the issues are the same.
Yeah, I can understand that. Out of curiosity, do you know, I've seen some stories on it. We're having a lot of problems over here because a lot of kids, even here in Buffalo, right here in the city, can't get access online. Are you getting problems because sections of Niagara region don't have access online?
I don't know if it's to the same extent you are over there, but yeah, it is. There's certainly people struggle in areas. You mentioned Fort Erie, Waynefleet, some of the more rural areas, they struggle with their internet connection.
I would think one of the problems in this is not the program they teach in school psychologist training for a situation like this. You guys are feeling your way too.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's an adjustment. We're doing a lot more virtual. A lot of people, the majority of people want to be seen in person. But we're doing more virtual work, and for some clients it works extremely well with, and for others it doesn't work well. Certainly, there are logistical issues around virtual. We have places for confidentiality. They have to feel that they're in a safe place. But that does increase, and it does help get to some of the people in the rural areas. And when we're under the full measure of lockdown, virtual helps, across the region. But some people just don't like it. So it's not a panacea. And, for some kids who are at higher risk, it's a challenge for the therapist, because if the kid, has an outburst and then cuts off the connection, we have to make sure that we have a phone number that we can get a hold of a parent to make sure they're going to be okay. So yeah, you're right. It's been a new kind of landscape for us to all try to navigate.
Now the big question, the one that Doug Ford is dealing with, are schools going to be there come fall? And that's, I would think, the big issue in what you're talking about, because if you have to tell these kids, no, you're going to be in front of a screen in September, you know, they're going to jump off some bridge. I mean, literally jump off a bridge.
Yeah, I think that would be devastating if they had to do that. But yeah, I mean, that's what we're waiting for. Our kids are out of school. We think it would be good even for the last 3 weeks for them to go back. But, you know, as you say, hopefully if that doesn't happen, they are able to go back in September.
Are any of the kids in Niagara Region actually in class? We have gradations here of 5 days and no days and 2 days. And the private high school I went to, basically they've been there all year. And they've had some COVID cases. But, I mean, you know, things are very difficult. But, you know, at least they have some stability because 5 days a week they're in a classroom.
Yeah, and they see their friends. And again, the 6 to 10 year olds, they need peers. Well, they all kids need peers, but the 6 to 10, they're developing skills. They need that social relationships. We have what we call here day treatment classrooms, or for kids who can't manage well in a typical classroom because of their mental health issues. So those classrooms remained open. But generally, the classrooms run by the district school board and the Catholic board, those are closed.
Are you getting cases where kids just disappear? I mean, a very high percentage of kids here in the city of Buffalo have just vanished from the system. Some of them obviously have no access at home. But I have a call into our social services department here, and they aren't anxious to talk to me about, are they going to send people out to find out if all of their kids still exist, sort of thing? Or isn't that really your job? That's somebody else.
Yeah, for us, that would be child protection, child welfare. But we have had families that we've lost track of them. So I can't say specifically a child or a youth, but families where they just, we're not hearing from them anymore.
The state of Massachusetts has 40,000 kids in care, and they are sending people out to every single kid. They want to see this kid in person.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but I mean, I think you guys are going to have to do it too. Certainly they're going to have to do it here, whether they really want to deal with that issue or not. But, you know, I mean, we did stories way back in the beginning about domestic violence, and all the prosecutors were concerned about that. And you're probably seeing more of that too, but the kids might not talk about it.
Yeah, that's increasing. The addiction certainly is increasing. Yeah, some of these things are going to take a while, we think, to be able to address. So when the pandemic leaves, there's still going to be these mental health and addictions issues that are going to remain for some time.
How about the standard teenage and middle school girls' social media bullying? I would think if the only way they can get any contact with somebody on social media, it's got to be worse than it usually is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any information about that. But you can things with everybody's stress level heightened. Sometimes people are nicer and friendlier and more cooperative, and sometimes they tend to be a little less supportive of others.
Any suggestion that it is girls again? I mean, that seems to be the problem over here more than boys. Boys punch out in the hallway. Girls go on social media and trash people. Any indication that that's changed at all?
We've not seen any indication of that increasing or decreasing during the pandemic, no.
Okay, just curious because that's become such an issue, especially in middle school.
Yeah, everything's going down.
My girlfriend's grandchild is in a school in another area. The high school has 4,000 students. I can't imagine dealing with a high school with 4,000. And the area where she lives, there are a lot of 4,000 student high schools. I don't understand the logic to it, but, you know.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I went to a college that only had 2,100 when I graduated.
Yeah.
It's all the way up to 3,000 now, 53 years later. Yeah, anyway, look, I appreciate the call back, and thanks very much.
No problem.
Okay.
Take care.
Yeah. Bye.